Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. Imagine living in a place more remote than Powell River. I know. Imagine 3 ferries to get here. Imagine a place with no hospital, with no medical care, no healthcare support of any kind, where an infected tooth might finish you off. Imagine living in this place, and then imagine that a healer arrives in your midst. There would be an absolute frenzy. Anyone and everyone with every kind of ailment would queue up to see this person. Heck, even the healthy might stop in for a quick checkup. This is exactly where we find Jesus and the disciples this morning, amidst the frenzy. After last week's exorcism, word has spread and the people want to get to this miracle man so that he can heal everything. Who cares what he might have to say? Let's get this tooth fixed. Now, of course, I am being a tad flippant. However, I imagine that the disciples, fresh with the buzz off the back of the exorcism at the synagogue, ushered Jesus through streets and alleyways away from the crowds and to Simon's house. Some peace and quiet at last. Here there are no miraculous signs, no speech, no commands to the illness that holds Peter's mother-in-law hostage. Instead, he is simply quiet and sits and holds her hand. His presence is enough to lift the fever. The Greek word here, and I don't normally do this because I was so rubbish at Greek, but the Greek word here is the same as the one used later in chapter 16, and it means resurrected. He lifted her up. He resurrected her. Instantly, she is lifted up and freed from her fever for service. Jesus' resurrection after 3 days in the tomb frees us for the same kind of service. And again, the Greek word here is, Taras will know this one, the Greek word here is diakonia. So we can say that Simon's mother-in-law is indeed the first deacon of the church. And if that's the case, then this story strongly challenges the gender norms of the church. So I'm just going to leave that little tidbit there for all of the Christian feminists in our midst. However, remember, Jesus is still on the Sabbath, so he has now healed and performed an exorcism on the Sabbath, which is something that would later lead him into huge conflict with the other teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, etc. But Jesus wasn't throwing out the law by healing on the Sabbath. Indeed, as Paul kind of spoke about in his letter to the Corinthians this morning, he is meeting the needs of those in front of him as he encounters them. He is being what he needs to be to serve God fully and to meet the needs of God's children. Now, I would imagine that given the buzz and having been followed to Simon Peter's house, that he probably worked all night. We hear that people were bringing the sick to him. The whole city, it says, is at the door for healings and for exorcisms. Now, I personally think Jesus must have been an extrovert to do all he did, to talk to people that he didn't know on the daily. But the thing that I know about extroverts is that they do need time alone to recharge. Luke tells us often that Jesus withdrew to lonely places to pray. And Mark tells us here in this chapter and again in chapter 6 that Jesus withdrew to a quiet place to say his prayers, to recharge himself. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went away to pray. Rather than sleep to recharge, Jesus would spend time with God. He drew his strength from prayer, as we do often. I think perhaps he withdrew because, I don't know if you've noticed this, but often when you're like, okay, I'm just going to make some quiet time for prayer, I'm going to sit down, get a book out, maybe there's a nice cushion, whatever your ritual might be, that is when people want to come and talk to you. It's kind of like putting on a pair of rubber gloves to do the dishes, that is when your nose itches. You sit down to pray and try and be quiet, and all of a sudden, someone needs you. So Jesus would make sure he would not be disturbed. Jesus were here today, he would switch off his mobile phone. He would disappear somewhere to pray and to make sure that the time for God was really set aside. Now, how do we pray? Well, we all have different methods and ways for speaking to God, but how many of us make it as far as withdrawing so as to be undisturbed? I know someone who may or may not be present who prays a lot on the loo, because you are not going to be disturbed if you are in the loo. Just a hot tip there. Don't take your phone. Jesus' disciples, however, they find him. And there's almost an air of, where have you been? What are you doing? Almost like disbelief. Why are you off praying when there are still people who want healing? The queue might have been never-ending as word spread. Jesus probably could have stayed put at Simon's house and become sort of a celebrity doctor, more successful than Dr. Phil. Probably could have made a fortune, Sabbath or not. Healing and driving out demons, however, was not Jesus' purpose or priority. He tells his disciples exactly what his priority is, and that is to go out into the other regions and proclaim his message. So, we have a frenzied crowd, miracles, healings, the first deacon of the church, who just so happened to be a lady, and we can trace then the diaconate of which Ron and Taras are both part of to Simon Peter's mother-in-law. But this is a church-made thing. The priesthood, which I'm part of, the diaconate, bishops, layers of hierarchy, these are human-made parts of an organization which has been constructed with sort of layers of authority, because that's what humans do. Remember, Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master, and sort of vice versa. We're all supposed to be on a very level thing here. So this is a church-made, human-made title, just like mine, just like Taras's. But as the church has evolved, we've raised up from among congregation those who are set apart for specific ministries. Now, this does not mean that the service that we see demonstrated this morning by Simon's mother-in-law is just restricted to deacons. It is also not just restricted to women. It is not a woman's place to serve. It is everybody's place to serve. Which is often how the church has not interpreted this text. So, ladies, I see you. A woman's place is not serving, it is everybody's place to be serving. Now, each of us follows this way, and each of us attempts to, and guys, I'm not doing you down. But we can learn from this resurrected woman who is lifted up by Jesus to serve. In many ways, although Jesus never says a word, we hear that Simon's mother-in-law just gets it. She just gets up, gets the message, and gets on with it. And Jesus ultimately teaches us all to do that as he goes through his gospel adventures. What is burdening us that we need to be lifted up from so that we can serve? This is the question. Now, each of us carries our own burdens, something we need to be lifted up from. Some of them are things that we picked up along the way that keep us away from God, and we have Lent coming, so we're free to think about putting those things down. Sometimes, like the mother-in-law, we're unwell. Now, maybe it's a fever, or a broken bone, or a sickness that requires a hospital stay. Sometimes it could be something like a mobility challenge that keeps us at home. Whatever a person faces, we know that there's always prayer as an option, and we know that it always helps. I can't tell you how many times I have seen someone who's unwell in hospital rally after receiving healing touch prayer, or just anointing, or prayer of any kind. However, I think that what Jesus teaches us in Mark this morning is that being a quiet presence also brings healing. Often, when we are with someone who's received a terminal diagnosis, friend or a family member, we find ourselves in that difficult moment of powerlessness where we do not know what to say. I've been there. Many of you have been there. Do not know what to say. And Jesus teaches us that being there is quite simply enough. Holding someone's hand can be as restorative as the cure that does not yet exist. Being present with people who are unwell, who are grieving, who are housebound, it is enough. It is a ministry and it lifts people up. Now, we are in a period of time where I'm going to be doing some training for people to go and visit those who cannot make it to church anymore, but who want to receive communion, or perhaps want to receive communion but really just want to see a friendly face. Now, if you are someone who is good at knowing when to speak and when to be quiet, and that is a great gift, this could be the ministry for you. So if you are that person, please see me after the service. I have a couple of people already who are going to be doing this training with me, and I can talk to you about it, tell you what's involved, and we can get the ball rolling. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, and I actually find that when I go and visit somebody and take them communion, I'm always surprised that I think I get more out of it even than they do. Now, if you're not sure if this ministry is for you, then find a quiet place, leave your phone behind, go somewhere quiet where you will not be disturbed, and ask God, and the answer will come to you. Amen.